was reminded how important good communication is. And I also was reminded that good communication sometimes takes effort. And so I have a video clip to show you, that. A lot of work, huh? Yeah. So some of the essentials of good communication that I sort of think, okay, let's see if I can do this without killing myself. Here we go. Openness and honesty and trust and asking questions and clarity and respect. And if you Google essentials of effective communication, there are a ton of books on the subject, and there's many, many different theories and answers to what good communication requires. But the one thing that all of them agree on is that the importance of listening is number one. And that's something I think we all struggle with at one time or another. Stephen Covey said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand, they listen with the intent to reply. And I know I am guilty of that quite often. So as we look at this passage today, we see that through the ages, God has spent a great deal of time trying to communicate with his creation. And according to our scripture, God has spoken through the prophets, through messengers, through angels, and then finally through the Son. And when we think about the prophets of the Old Testament, we remember some of those stories, like Moses, who tried again and again to relay God's message to the Israelites, with the result that all he got were complaints, disobedience, and rebellion. They just would not listen. In Exodus 19:4 is an example of that. We read that God told Moses, this is what you should say to Jacob's household and declare to the Israelites. If you faithfully obey me and stay true to my covenant, you'll be my most precious possession out of all the peoples. These are the words that you should say to the Israelites. And so in verse 7, Moses calls them all together and all the elders, and he tells them all the things that God has said to him. And they respond with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Now, if you keep on reading in Exodus, you find that what in fact happens is that Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, there's a cloud, God gives him the Ten Commandments and all of the law, and he's up there a long time, and then, of course, what happens? They get impatient down the hill, and they decide to melt all their jewelry and all their gold, and they build this golden calf to worship. So much for keeping God's covenant and obeying God. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because his frustration was that God's message was not being heeded or understood either. And so we see in Jeremiah 13, he tells Judah, listen closely, don't be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Honor the Lord before it's too late. If you're too proud to listen, I will go off alone and cry my eyes out. He was kind of a depressed individual. And so the whole book of Jeremiah, there's this wrestling back and forth with people not listening. And there are lots and lots of examples in Scripture, as our reading today says. So God spoke many times and in many ways. So if we ignore for a minute the paternalistic language in the King James Version, this is how they translated that first verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, sundry times and diverse manners. In other words, God was relentless. God tried over and over again in many different ways to communicate to his people what he expected of them and what who he was and who he wanted them to be. And so he wanted to have this relationship with them. And again, they ignored these attempts to have this relationship. But God did not give up. In one final attempt, God came to earth in human form, not only to show us who God was, but to tell us about the nature of God. And so our scripture today tells us that the Son was sent here at the beginning, sent, was present at the beginning of creation, and that creation was created through him. So if we look at our verses today, it says, who is this Son? This Son is the light of God's glory, the imprint of God's being. The Son maintains everything with his powerful message and cleanses and restores people to whom they were created to be. So what does it mean that Jesus is the imprint of God's essence or substance? And without getting too theological, it means that when we look at the life and the words of Jesus, we are seeing the totality of who God is. Jesus is God's final message to the world. Not only that, but this final messenger reigns higher above any other, higher above the angels, and the angels are commanded to worship him. He's not just another prophet or messenger. He is the message. So I'm not sure if any of you have ever tried online dating. Actually, I know a few of you have. And so I would imagine that no matter how many texts or emails or phone calls or how much communication, FaceTime, all of that goes back and forth when you first meet someone, I would imagine that meeting that person in the flesh, and I'm not talking about sex, meeting them in person can either be really exciting or really disappointing, right? I don't know because I haven't done that. But so all I know is what people have told me. So stop laughing. So, whether it's awful or fantastic, seeing them face to face gives you a much fuller picture of who they are rather than just phone calls and emails and texts, right? Those of you who, and I'm trying not to look at you, but anyway, and so it is with God. God was so relentless in wanting relationships, in wanting communication with his people, that he became the message. So the author of this letter recognized that his readers were in danger of losing their faith. The time had gone on. There were no longer people that had been present at the time of Jesus, when Jesus walked the earth. And so it was sort of the next generation. And they were being influenced by the Hellenistic culture around them. And they were being persecuted. And they were really struggling. And so he writes them this message in order to reinforce their beliefs and encourage them. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, the author says this: this is why it's necessary for us to pay attention to what we've heard, or else we may drift away from it. I know that we all have so many messages every single day, whether it's in the news or Facebook or Twitter or all of these messages that we are bombarded with all of the time. And sometimes it can really start influencing how we think. And these messages have this power to steer us away and steer us in the wrong direction, a direction away from God. But we do know, we need to be reminded that there is this message above all other messages. And so the question today is, are we willing to pay attention? Are we willing to listen, to understand? Because I'm telling you, God is still speaking to us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me pray. Gracious God, we come before you and give you thanks for this message. We give you thanks that there are messages from you that we can still hear if we only pause, if we only take the time to listen and to ask. And so we come before you today, Lord, asking that maybe you might speak to us this week, that you might have a word for us. We just thank you, God, that you still are here, that you still are part of our lives through the Holy Spirit. And so we give you thanks for that in Jesus' name.